Welcome. My name is Asan Ustolu. I'm a trainee editor of the UEG Journal, and you're listening to the UEG Journal podcast. Each episode will highlight one of the most relevant articles recently published in the journal, with the purpose of learning from the most recent evidence and to provide a platform for authors to discuss the most important findings of their research. Today, I'm really delighted to be joined by our colleagues from the US, the other side of the lake, as we like to call it. I have Dr. Rajan Singh and Dr. Hannah Zog, and they'll be talking to us about their paper published in the UEG Journal just at the end of last year called MIR-10B5P Rescues Leaky Gut Linked with Gastrointestinal Dysmotility and Diabetes. So please, can you introduce yourselves, including your co-authors, and tell us where the work took place?
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Asan Ustolu, for the kind invitation, and thanks for having us. It's an honor to be here. So my name is Rajan Singh. I'm a researcher studying the neurogastroenterology and motility and diabetes, and presently serving as the assistant professor research at University of Nevada, Reno School of Medicine. And my research focus is to learn the cellular pathogenesis and molecular mechanisms underlying the disorders of gut-brain interaction and metabolic disorders, particularly the diabetes. And I firmly advocate for deeper understanding of pathologies at cellular level, the root cause, and that could lead to the better treatment strategies for individuals with disorders of gut-brain interaction and also for the diabetes. And joining us for this podcast is Dr. Hannah George. She is a gut-brain science researcher, and most importantly, she is the person spearheading this elegant work.
Yeah, so I'm Dr. Hannah Zog. I am from the University of Nevada School of Medicine in Reno. I have a passion for translational research, especially with diabetes and gut dysmotility. We have found that in a lot of studies, there's a lot of link between diabetes and gut dysmotility, but we haven't until now figured out what is connecting these two disorders. So it was our passion, both Dr. Rajan Singh and me, to find what the connecting factor is. We also had some help and collaborators on the study. So we had Dr. Wei Yan's lab at UCLA. They helped us develop the mouse model that we use in these studies. And then Raj, if you want to talk about our other collaborators.
Yeah, so this study was carried out in the mentorship of Professor Sigil Roh, so who is the corresponding author and at UNR School of Medicine. And we have the clinical collaborators from Department of Gastroenterology and Hepatology, Stanford University, Professor Linda Nagin. We have the clinical insights and also the clinical samples from her. And also the Professor Laura Dugas, and she is in Loyola University at Chicago Public Health Sciences, Illinois.
Perfect. Thank you. What a wonderful range of universities and collaborators, which explains the hugely mechanistic nature of the study, I think. So I'm really excited to have you both here because, as you know, the UEG Journal is largely aimed towards clinicians, but we really want to have more translational work coming through as well. And I'm a basic scientist myself, so I'm really excited to hear about the kind of mechanisms that your work uncovered using your in vivo model. So could one of you please start by giving an overview of your study and aims?
So I will start with some background. As you know that the diabetes is a global health challenge, and it has the substantial co-occurrence with the disorders of gut-brain interaction, particularly like the gastroparesis and slow transit constipation. And 50 to 60% of the diabetics, they experience at least one of these disorders. And this linkage underscores an intricate interplay between the metabolic dysfunction and the gut health. And there are like the strategies for the treatment of these disorders, but they focus only on the symptomatic relief, often falling short in addressing the underlying cellular dysfunction that contribute to both diabetes and GI dysmotility. So when I refer to like the root cause, I mean that the cellular pathologies linked with diseases. So there are some key cells maintaining the glucose homeostasis and also the GI functionality, like the pancreatic beta cells, and in the gut, there are some GI pacemaking cells. They are known as the interstitial cells of Cajal. And if there is some dysfunctions in these cells, so those are the key contributors for the onset of diabetes and gut dysmotility. So Dr. Jaws and me, we believe that a disease is caused by alterations in inner functioning of cells. And it is critical to understand how healthy cell works, and more importantly, what happened when disease strikes. The patient for this study was like the one of the important cellular regulatory mechanisms that is mediated through the microRNAs, and that has emerged as a new therapeutic approach to endogenous ability to regulate the cellular process and ability to restore these cellular dysfunctions.
Thank you for that, Rajan. That was a great background. I think our audience will appreciate the role that microRNAs can play and the importance of the cellular alterations that impact gut-brain disorders, because not only is neurogastroenterology a relatively niche area of study, we also don't really understand what's going on at a molecular level at all, really. So I'm really looking forward to hearing more.
So in this study, like best of our knowledge, this is the first mechanistic study to investigate whether the impaired gut barrier function, that is also known as the leaky gut, that is regulated by the microRNAs, that the microRNA 10B, that may link the diabetes and gut dysmotility. So for this, we created a mouse line using the CRISPR-Cas12a system to delete just one key microRNA globally. So when I say globally, means each cell has the deficiency of the microRNA 10B. And we also performed the loss of function studies in microRNA 10B global knockout mice to characterize the diabetes, gut dysmotility, and gut barrier dysfunction. And for the gain of function, just the supplementing the microRNA with microRNA 10B mimic. So mimic means like that they are chemically modified double stranded RNA molecule that designed to mimic endogenous microRNA, and that upregulates the microRNA activity. So I believe this covers the study design and aims of the study and our motivation to conduct this study.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was a great level of detail and hopefully gives a nice background and introduction to the study for our listeners. So from my understanding, the novel mechanism that your study has uncovered linking diabetes and gut disorders through gut barrier function dysregulation is quite interesting. How do you think, or from your kind of data, how is the loss of microRNA 10B, 5P inducing such a profound effect in both the barrier function and diabetes pathogenesis from a mechanistic point of view?
Yeah, so as we've talked about earlier, microRNAs target a plethora of, or they have a plethora of targets. So microRNA 10B, we've already found, can regulate the KLF11 KIT pathway. So KLF11 is a transcription factor that downregulates KIT expression, which is important for pancreatic beta cells as well as the interstitial cells of Cajal, which are the pacemaker cells in the GI. And that's what causes this dysmotility phenotype as well as the diabetic phenotype. However, another target of microRNA 10B is the zonulocudins 1, which is a tight junction protein that's essential for maintaining that epithelial barrier integrity. So without that, you have epithelial barrier dysfunction that you can see in some different disorders of gut-brain interaction, such as, you know, IBS-C.
Yeah, and one more thing I want to add, like at the mechanistic point of view, because we noted from our microRNA sequencing analysis from colonic mucosa from the microRNA 10B knockout mice, and what we found that there was a microRNA dysregulation of the key microRNA, which are important regulator of the gut motility, intestinal barrier function, gut immune function, and visceral sensation. And when we supplement with microRNA 10B, like the treated mice with 10B mimic, so they induce the restoration of the dysregulated microRNA in the key pathophysiological mechanisms. Mm-hmm. That was the exciting part, like the for our study. Like we can restore all the dysregulated microRNA, which are important players in the pathogenesis.
So how does mast cells come into the picture then? Is that because of the expression of KIT that this microRNA is regulating, or am I thinking of a different kit?
Actually, the mast cell was not our story. We just addressed the previous studies, like Professor Guy Buxton from the Target, and also the studies from the Professor Giovanni Barbara from the Bologna University, Italy. So they found that the mast cells, if they are very close connection with the neurons, so they have like the patients with IBS have more severity of the gut pain. So the proximity of the mast cell and neurons matter most in those patients. And we found in the like the some studies showed that in DSS colitis model, so there is like the more inflammation and there is more mast cells in micro-10B global knockout mice. Some previous studies showed that. And they found that there is downregulation of the micro-10B in patients with inflammatory bowel disease, particularly patients with colitis. So both murine studies and human studies confirmed that micro-10B is important player for the immune function. So just for the further directs, we are exploring the gut resident macrophages that play important role in gut motility. And the micro-10B is capable to populating the CD206 positive macrophages to restore the gut homeostasis. So what we have learned like the, from the previous human deep tissue biopsy study, particularly from the Mayo Clinic group, Rochester, Minnesota. So what they found that CD206 positive muscularis macrophages, so which are like the anti-inflammatory nature. So they are depleted in patients with diabetic gastroparesis. And they were correlated with the reduced number of ICC and delayed gastric emptying. So what we found in our micro-10B global knockout mice, the CD206 positive muscularis macrophages, they are depleted in colonic tissue. And also we have the mouse model like the high fat, high sucrose fed mouse. So they develop hyperglycemia and gut dysmotility. What we found in those diabetic mice, so CD206 positive muscularis macrophages, they are depleted. And when we treat the mice with the micro-10B mimic, there were more like the CD206 positive macrophages and less pro-inflammatory macrophages. So we presented this study at DAW last year.
So I kind of probably jumped into my next question during that. You've gone over the literature on the role of mast cells in regulating visceral hypersensitivity in IBS patients' nerve endings by the Barbara group and also kind of expanded upon by Guy Buxton's and his group. Do you think your plan to investigate this in future studies in your research, kind of to look at the gut resident macrophages?
Yeah, that's our future direction in the muscularis macrophages. We are conducting this research right now.
So what do you think from this current study? Do you think microRNA-10B has a translational potential? How do you think this could kind of benefit patients? I know this may be an early step in the research, but how do you think it could be developed into a translational target?
Yeah, that's a good question. We found that the micro-10B, if you treat the mice, diabetic mice or gut dysmotility mice, so we can rescue the phenotypes like the GI dysmotility, impaired barrier function, and also gut immune dysfunction, impaired barrier function. So it has the potential for future therapeutics, particularly patients with DCBI, and also the patient with diabetes and other, maybe the low grade inflammatory disorders, other metabolic disorders also.
Okay, thank you. So then, Dr. Zog, would you kindly summarize the conclusions that you drew from your findings and any limitations that you think the study had?
Yeah, absolutely. So the main finding we found was this novel mechanism linking for the first time the metabolic disorder as well as the gut dysmotility. And we found that this is through a microRNA, our microRNA-10B, the 5 prime. And we were able to find this through using our CRISPR-created knockout of the microRNA, global knockout. And these mice developed hyperglycemia as well as gut dysmotility, and the most important part is also the intestinal barrier dysfunction. And then even further, we found that when we restored the microRNA through a micro-10B mimic injection, we restored all of these phenotypes. So Raj mentioned earlier, through microRNA sequencing, we found restoration of microRNAs that were important for motility disorders and the intestinal barrier integrity and possibly gut immune dysfunction. And so this is probably providing strong evidence that there is therapeutic potential for this microRNA in diabetes, gut dysmotility, as well as gut barrier dysfunction and other conditions of low-grade inflammation. Raj, did you want to talk some more about the limitations of the study?
Yeah, so the limitations mean like that we have some barrier function dysfunction or gut immune dysfunction. So we want to explore like the macrophage specific and then deplete the micro-10B and then see how the cell specific gut barrier function is there. Cell specific micro-10B deletion mouse model would be the one limitation probably of this study. But we already published in Gastroenterology 2021 about the KIT positive cell specific 10B conditional knockout mice. We found a similar phenotypes in global knockout mice also, but one additional phenotype we got is the barrier dysfunction, and that is linking the this mortality and diabetes. Mm-hmm. That's the key finding of this study also. So I strongly believe that the treatment with micro 10B mimic that reverse the leaky gut, diabetic, and gut dysmotility phenotypes. So that has the highly like the potential translational aspects of the micro 10B mimic. Because our focus should be the understanding and treating symptoms based on the pathology present at the cellular level. That is the root cause of the any disease. Not only just providing the symptomatic relief, but in like the future, there should be like the understanding that heterogeneity of the pathologies at the single cell level and spatial transcriptomics that might open the other potential therapeutics options. And one more direction of this study could the exploration of the gut microbiota and their metabolites crosstalk with the host and how they remodel the gut-brain axis from mortality to mood. That may also be a crucial point.
Yeah, thank you for raising all those points. You spoke of the heterogeneity that we see at single cell level. So I was just wondering, did you check to see whether you could see any of these effects that you saw in your model in human samples of micro-10B in this current study?
Yeah, we are planning in the patients with diabetic gastroparesis and particularly at the single cell level. And we have the mouse model like the ICC-specific mouse model or enterocomorphin cell-specific mouse model. So we are feeding these mice with high-fat, high-sucrose diet. And then in pathogenesis condition and healthy condition, how the cells are remodeled and what other cell population is there. So we are trying to figure it out in future. We are already conducting those research.
Okay, thank you. We'll look forward to hearing from those data soon, hopefully. Thank you so much for your time and for discussing your paper with us. And yeah, we wish you all the best. It was lovely to have you both.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
We hope you enjoyed this interview. And if you haven't already, please make sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your episodes from. Thank you and see you again.
UEG Talks. Gastroenterology to go. Check out our new podcast.